everybody's attention. What are you doing over there? Come on. What are you doing over there?
Oh, you don't have to go. I didn't mean it that way. I want everybody to stay. All right, good morning, y'all.
Good morning.
Hi, Ken.
Thank you.
Good morning, Mr. Ken.
Thank you. Welcome to Sunday School, Ken style. What does that mean?
Well, you should be afraid.
You should be very afraid. What that means is I'm going to ask for a whole lot of participation out of you guys. I'm going to try to kind of direct our conversation, should it stray, but I really want you guys to kind of run it. So I'm gonna sit here and stare at you, maybe point at you, wait for you to say something. Alan, I'm looking at you. You can take pressure. So that's kind of how I operate. My goal is to maybe answer some questions, but to definitely leave you with some questions so that you go home and you have things to think about and you've heard from your brothers and sisters and so forth. Make sense? Everybody looking at him? Everybody
here? Yeah.
Well done. Thank you. All right. Then let's pray. Heavenly Father, would you take our Sunday school lesson this morning and take it in your direction? Would you cause us to hear what you would have us hear and completely ignore that which is unproductive or not useful or not glorifying to you? In all of us, Lord, would we glorify you? In all that we say, in all that we understand, and all that we take from here and use to live our lives. In Christ's name. Amen. All right, so Per mentioned living life together. What I want to do is I want to take our membership vows. I mean, everybody I'm looking at is not a member of Free Grace. But this is not meant to be a new member's class. That's not what I'm about here. I want to take our membership vows, though, and I want to tease them out, yank them out, and see what they say theologically and how they speak to our hearts and so forth. And kind of go from there. I want to get deep into our vows and see what they say to us, see what God has to say to us. So, I have a handout. I guess I'll take one, pass it on. So this morning, I'm not even going to get into the vows really this morning. What I want is to just kind of hear from you guys in general. So I'm fact-finding for myself. I want to know what you guys think about stuff. I want to hear your opinions about church membership. Negative, positive, everything. The sheet you have has all the vows on it, and it has the questions that I kind of want to just walk through today. If we don't get them all dealt with, if we don't answer them all, we don't discuss them all, that's all right. Like I said, I want to get information from you guys. I want to get you talking and get you thinking. So let me ask that first question. What are your general thoughts about church membership? Now, I know that's a big umbrella question. It's not specific enough, perhaps. What do you think? When somebody says, are you a member of a church? Or, you know, when we do communion, we say, you know, you're welcome to join us if you're not a member here, as long as you go to a church or you're a member of a church. Evangelical church preaches the Bible, that kind of thing. What do you think about membership when people talk about that or suggest it or ask if you want to be a member?
Yeah.
What are your general thoughts about church membership?
Well, in that sense, we're talking about
So are you saying that church vows, for instance, or church membership is about finding out if you really belong here, so to speak, or if you're a real member of the body of Christ? That kind of thing?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sean's giggling. What do you think, Sean?
Well, one time I did it, and then the church collapsed, so. I don't know how connected they are, but.
We're not going to ask you.
Yeah.
In case it's not this door's unlocked.
I might be the one that said, like, maybe just check out our Catholic.
So what does it mean to be a
has collapsed. Yeah, we have a number of Trinity people here, don't we?
Yeah,
former Trinity people, members.
That imploded the town.
Yeah, Miss Dorney. I mean, over here, we've got Kevin suggesting, to come to membership means I'm getting examined, sure. And Doreen, you're saying, well, I'm examining you, buddy. Good point. Really good point.
It's interesting that she talked about marriage, because there's something to that vow that you're taking. It's like you're committing to stay with this group of people even if things get difficult. I think that's really the crux of it. Like, if you don't have that public tie, then there's really things get hard. You're like, well, I think I'll just go somewhere else and let them deal with it.
Yeah.
It doesn't always work out that way in practicality, but I think in theory, that's the sort of one of the really important things about taking that vow.
Yeah. So the vow for you, Jake, means, taking the vow, becoming a member means, I'm a deeper part of this group of people for you. It sounds like that's what you're saying.
Yeah, it's something that sort of impresses on your own conscience to keep you there and let you feel
public. It's a public commitment.
Yeah, public.
Right.
That's a good point. You know, when we do, some of you here who are members know that when you take the vows with us, we'll give you a sheet of paper with your vows on it, ask you to sign it. And we have, we've taken vows as elders, and we signed it as well, and we'll give you that paper. You know, it's what Alice is talking about. We're for you, you're for us. We're together, so to speak. What else? What other thoughts are out there?
I think there's kind of a danger of making it too light, and just like, you've been here a couple weeks, want to be a member, and then there's also a danger of being like, you need to be here for 10 years before you can be a member. Like, it's important for it to be intentional and serious, but I don't know, I think that you can get caught in between the extremes, taking it too much, like, oh, I'm a member, but now I just really want to try out to the church, I'm just going to leave, and I'll be a member there, or something, like, or viewing it as, once I'm a member, I'm committed to that church, no matter what, I'm going to pretty much try to go there for as long as I can, and until there's a reason to kind of almost formally give it up.
Sort of like sitting in the pew long enough, but spending the whole time kind of looking for a reason to leave, almost.
Yeah, I think if you're a member, you probably shouldn't do that. You should be getting the t-shirt. You're a big fan. You know, I love it. Love the church. And I'm not going to try to find a reason to leave. So.
Yeah. Yeah, I love that. Speaking of what Jake was saying, really, I mean, I think Jake, I'm speaking for you here, but taking the battle, you're saying, well, I'm casting my lot in with this crew, good, bad, or indifferent. Of course, it could be bad enough that you'd have to leave, of course. I mean, a lot of us have had that experience. But you're saying, and I think, Sean, you're saying, you know, these are the people that I'm joining with, and I'm in it thick and thin with them. Right? Sound like head nods. Anybody doing this?
Well, I just said bad enough. I mean, that's one
of the things
that's different than like marriage is that getting out of it is quite so difficult. You know, there are people like the two reasons for going somewhere else.
Yeah.
You know, I can think of one family that left and they let everyone know they were leaving.
Yeah.
And there's one more last minute. So
where do you think we're going to find the story about David?
It's kind of hard to feel bad about
that. You mentioned it earlier.
Yeah.
Nope, that's what David wrote.
I'm going to stop rambling.
No, you're okay. I want to hear what you guys have to say. And certainly, I did say bad enough, but there are other reasons, too. You got to move, for instance. You know, you leave your family. You got to find a membership somewhere else.
Start.
Hopefully. Or find a family, a church family that fits. What about intimacy?
Samuel,
church membership mean a higher level of intimacy?
It can.
Can?
Yeah. Yep. Which one, though?
First, go along.
Well, like Sean was saying, depending on how that, depending on how you, how serious you
take it. Well, it was first.
Not as in others. I don't want to say finding a half amiable, but finding the right word
first,
not being
first Samuel 17
liberal and legalist about it, but it does indicate that you want to commit it, and therefore, properly handle it would mean more of a relationship because you're
showing our stories today is what it's trust in God.
A bigger part of that.
And our stories also about
your intent to actually, that is, you're showing that you're going to be staying around, I guess, and so you can.
So
you have the ability to be
over the enemy of the Israelites.
Yeah. So it goes back to that public thing a little bit too.
Right.
Kind of publicly saying.
Sorry. Yeah.
Is church membership necessary? Mandatory?
Well, I kind of feel like. Oh, sorry. May I speak?
Okay. Absolutely.
A PC church, which is.
Oh, not this one.
This is the best one, as long as you acknowledge that.
If I may put Captain Obvious, the dog commands us and commends us to become part of them.
We go down the other side
and we ask him to pull out.
Argue with your mom about it.
So
when you go up, you go down the
spot, but
you know where the ground, you know where the mountain stops and the ground.
So maybe accountability.
Yeah, that's about the flatlands around the
particular fellowship of a lot of weeds,
so you're right, sometimes there are mountains surrounding it. There are other types of mountains.
Would you say Bob can't have what?
So
casual. There is that. No sacrifice to people.
Right.
So.
All right. Sorry, Bob.
Yeah.
Go
ahead. Go ahead, Bob. We finished
with those.
Yeah.
Kind of
yeah.
Same.
During.
So there you are, the kind of on like hills, so then they would go down to the valley. So it is scary. But they had it started right there, so everything was okay. But every day, we'll send out challenge. You know how tall he was?
Membership vows, though.
Almost. He's a little shorter than that.
Members in their heart when getting that signature on the piece of paper. They were actively in their church community, but they haven't become members of that church. And sometimes it's because one of the tenants that their church puts in for membership.
But how did you grow these?
But it doesn't make you less a Christian, unless it's something that is heretical.
Bob is that it is part of scripture that we join the family, and I think how we interpret it here is that you become a member. And by no means does that mean just because you're not a member of a given church, you're not a Christian. But I think it creates more solid foundations for you to do that. And I know that for some things in our church, you don't have to agree with every jot and tittle that we have. But there are fundamentals that you need to agree with to become a member, because those kind of things indicate a good Christian standing.
Exactly.
Also, that I agree that there are people who could do member kinds of things without actually signing a piece of paper, but I think it's also important for the other people in the congregation that we become members. I mean, you're kind of leading question with intimacy, like how intimate you want to be here, they want to have a giant of a man. It's kind of there, but they weren't really like committed, and so they might just like not be there.
Well, to defend Doreen's comment a little bit, the Crawfords, you just heard Alice say she was at East Auburn for 16 years. It's a long time. If you know anybody at East Auburn, if you happen to mention Dan Crawford, everybody knows him, right? They were active, right? Well-loved in that church. But as you were saying, Doreen, there's some certain doctrines, I can't name them, and Alice walked off somewhere. So I don't know what they are, but there were some doctrines that they couldn't agree with enough to sign up for membership. But still, members of the body of Christ, right? Let me tell you a story. I went on a mission trip to China. It was 99. It's been a while.
I didn't tell much of this before any other time.
Yeah. So we were there to teach English, and they told us, one of the things they told us was, be quiet about being a Christian. You know, do not proselytize. You can, in some cases, you can use Christian material to help you teach English, but don't run around making it a big thing, trying to convert people and so forth. And you know, we're trying to work this out in more details than that. But we spent a month there, and we did 2 weeks of teaching, and then we had a little blow off steam time, you know, over the weekend. We went to this, we went to another city and kind of hung out, and we went to a shopping mall. I'm walking through the shopping mall. It's in Shenyang City, which is northeast. And walking through the shopping mall, and nothing but Chinese people, right? I mean, we stick out like sore thumbs. Now, here comes this woman, right, at me. White woman, right, wearing a t-shirt. And I looked at her and I said, oh, she's a Christian. Right? Why? Well, because China's full of Chinese people and white people who are Christian missionaries. Now, that's no oversimplification. I don't really mean it that way. But she walked right up to me, and it's like we read each other's minds. Now, I don't know if she's a Methodist, a Lutheran, a Presbyterian, Baptist. I have no idea. But she walked up and she said, hey, what are you doing, you know? And I said, oh, I'm just here at this mall kind of thing. We had this conversation that sort of felt like, I know you. You know me. And we had this little chat, and then she said, you know, have you run across Jesse Christo while you've been here? You remember him? Right? And I go, yeah, I know Jesse Christo. And she goes, yeah, well, if you see him, will you tell him I'm thinking about him? And, you know, if he thinks about me, that'd be a good thing. And I said, yeah, if you run into him, do the same for me. Right? What are we talking about there? Jesse Christo. J.C., right? Yeah. I mean, we're in the same family, this woman and me, and I don't know where she comes from. No idea. Right? We belong to the same body. What? You know, we didn't know it. We didn't even talk about it. We spoke in code for like 3 minutes and went our separate ways. What a cool thing. It was really cool. It was like, man, I got a sister thousands of miles away and I know nothing about it. So, we're members of the same church, myself and this woman. Yeah. How cool. And we're kind of serving together. We're in the same country, kind of there for the same reason, to bring Jesus to people that, that don't know about Jesus. So we're working together in a way. Why isn't that good enough? Or is it good enough? Why would I want to be a member of my local church? When I have that, I'm a member of the universal church. And we agree on most of the important stuff. Why would I need to be a member of, you know, this body? Why is that important? Sarah?
I don't know
if you're going to screw their hand
because everyone else is talking.
No, you're getting these things.
No more
polite this way. You have to develop your own signal, you know, like a wink and a
elbow. Well, I think that it's really important to become a member of a church because, for some people have mentioned, accountability is huge, but also because of church discipline. And in this day and age, if you're not, you don't say that you're putting yourself under the suggestion of your church in that area, then there's a lot of legal things that could be a problem if they try to discipline you.
No, you only have a faux accountability if you're not a member of a local body. In other words, well, this happens in counseling. I'm an elder in this church, but if somebody comes from another church and they tell me all about their sin, I don't have authority over them, right? I'm not their elder. Is that kind of what you're saying?
I think so.
Yeah, if they belong to a body with elders, for instance, then those elders could deal with whatever her situation is, whether they need to deal with it legally or through counseling or prayer or whatever.
He said,
but I don't have any authority as an elder of this church that she doesn't belong to. Does that make sense? I'm not saying that very well. What Doreen was saying about being alone, right? I have this little saying that I tell my clients sometimes that an isolated Christian is a Christian in trouble, right? When you think about Jesus going out into the desert alone, did he really go alone? So if you go out there into the world, a sheep, you know, not belonging to a local body, but you are belonging to the universal church, are you really going out alone? No.
Yeah,
right?
Remember with Brian?
Yeah.
Yes, and no. You didn't have to be ministry in the same way that Jesus did.
Right.
No, but it's not a perfect analogy. But if you're going to be a rogue Christian, right? I don't have you guys to keep me sharp. I don't have you guys keeping an eye on me. I don't have you guys loving me. I go out there by myself. Who also went out there with Jesus? Satan was there out there with me. Right?
That's
the same thing. Loud. Joke.
God is
the lie that ready to attack.
Pay attention.
Right out
of
the
Satan's like,
he's
a huge
guy. When the dead, what do you think he did?
In your physical body. Thank you.
bubbling over.
I am, yeah.
What is it?
Well, I think that in the discussion, what's really interesting is there's two huge parts to church membership. Was like that there's sort of practical church administration tasks that a lot of times you can only have when you're a member, like voting on issues and thinking maybe like voting on who should be the pastor that really change the church. And those, it makes a lot of sense that only members should access those, but then what you're kind of teasing out is more like for a full Christian life and for a full Christian relationship, you have a fully assigned member. And I think there's a lot of instances like you're talking about where you are contributing equally, and it's a vow, and a vow in itself is like marriage. It still is like a relationship. It doesn't matter that you've made this promise if it's kind of a dead thing that has no action. And you can be really committed and doing a lot of actions, but not necessarily sign on it, because it's a little bit of a human construct. It's a little bit of our best way of trying to make a good thing, but it's not like we're going to totally...
That's not in the scripture. You must sign a paper to do that.
And they didn't. So if all the
people
didn't want to do it, but I think that it's our sort of... Well, like two sides to it. And it's interesting in the conversation how they're getting mixed, because then it's kind of pure administration. And who gets to vote on things? The church has that huge problem because there's people who sign on the dotted line. This is a very extreme case. 10 years ago, hadn't been in 10 years. Heard there had been changes in the church. People called all their community, and all these people never, but not been in the church in 10 years, can be like voted out of the pastor that they never heard. So that's kind of an extreme case of all vows now carrying and church membership being kind of a problem.
You're basically going through the motions of the
They don't even know who it is, but they showed up to vote, and that was accessible to them under the very strict rules. You are a member, you get to vote. And so there's somewhat danger in that whole word.
I get what you're saying. I don't want to throw those out. They're kind of extenuating circumstances. I don't want to throw them out. They matter, of course. But get back to kind of a general idea, right? Trying to decide whether I want to keep going with this or let it go for the moment. You're shaking your head, yes. Which means what? Let it go for the moment. But Dorian, you look like you had something else to say. Kevin. They're goofy, though.
My question is like two pieces. One is it an instrument piece, and one is your part. So, I mean, I've signed a blood connection with Christ. So, I'm a member of the church. And wherever I show up, I give my all. You know, I signed that one Sunday because I'm looking for a church to stay, or we're passing through the country, and we try to be in the church on Sunday. Because my heart is in Christ, and I've heard it like whatever stands to them. And I completely agree. I've seen some things. I think we've lived some ignorance in church lives. You wouldn't want me to come in and, okay, now I'm a member, and I can start standing up and being really loud and vocal and twisting things and hoping to make changes. You accepting me as a member, me accepting to be a member, is a huge commitment.
It is. In some ways, it's almost like it can be in very extreme circumstances, like the somewhat worst part about church. If you're like a member, it's a popularity contest, it's promoted and things like it can be very political in some
ways.
So there's another aspect that we're not talking too much about. It's come up a little bit. There's another aspect that hasn't come up. There's another aspect that we're not talking about too much, and it's the the authority issue. So we talk about administration, and we talk about like our commitment to each other and such. But if we believe that God has set up a structure for His body, as we become members, we put ourselves under that authority. If we choose not to, on the long term, I mean, of course, you have to fill out a church, you know, kind of thing. Is this pray? Is this where God wants me to stay? But eventually, I believe that we actually need to put ourselves under the authority, and it's not a very American thing to want to do. Usually when you talk about a social organization and membership, it's about commitment, it's about organization, it's not about who's in authority over who, because we have that knee-jerk reaction, you're not the boss of me, you know. And I remember when Kevin and I first went to a PCA church, they fenced the table, and we had been members of a church forever, and we had gone faithfully. And our first reaction was like, well, what the heck? Why? Why? Because of the specific wording was not, if you're a Christian, you know, you may worship, and you're worshiping with us today, if you're a visitor, it was, if you're not a member of this church or another Bible church. And we were like, well, why do you have to be a member? That was just totally foreign to us.
Yeah.
And so we had a discussion with the pastor about that, and we, you know, looked into ourselves and prayed about it. And yeah, I mean, it's about coming under. Part of it is about coming under the authority that God set above us. And when we talk about authority, you know, and us Americans always want to be like, don't tell me what to do, and you get all defensive. The authority that's above you, you choose a church where you can see that those elders love their people. If there's love and authority that have to go hand in hand, don't put yourself in a church where they don't.
So love and authority for you, big deal. Love and authority. And I'm hearing from all of you guys that becoming a member at a church is big. Am I hearing that right? I mean, nobody here is kind of saying, it's not that big a deal. Seems like a big deal to you guys.
Were you saying, though, that you can only discipline members or talk with members? Is that usually the, I don't know, I'm not asking that. Is that, like, the way it normally goes? Like, you only kind of...
I don't want to go down a rabbit trail, but I will say this. As an elder, I don't have authority to discipline somebody who is sovereign, let's say.
You still like good advice, right? Obviously.
Advice,
you
believers,
help the congregation
sure.
Stay there.
Yeah. I mean, I can speak into their lives, but, you know, any other Christian has the right to speak into the life of any other Christian.
Yeah.
You guys might disagree with that. I strongly disagree. But as an elder, the authority issue, you know, what Pastor was talking about, I have no power to, you know, discipline. Get disciplinary proceedings going on in another church, right? If somebody's a member of this church, then yeah, I've got a role to play there. Not all the role, of course, but some role. Does that make sense?
Kevin, may I try to respond to your question?
Yeah, certainly.
I'm sitting up front not to be, for another reason other than deaf, and I can't hear you, but I don't sit up front, but I can't hear you. So I'm looking at you because I want to respond. I've been listening to your responses. It took a while for me to distill what I'm really thinking. You know, we're born and we die. That's life, and then there's eternal life. And I think of this world as each and every one of us needs a lifeboat to get to the spot where we're supposed to arrive. And I look at membership of the church as deciding which boat do I need to go in order to make it to where I need to go. Church is a lifeboat. And we all have a responsibility. So if I'm coming here, I'm thinking about, am I in the right boat? You know, are the needs being met? Are the truths being spoken? The work, I have a whole bunch of work. I'll just share these things and I'll shut up. I have to agree to get into that lifeboat. Agree that's the place to be. I have to agree that we have shared responsibilities, equality in membership. And lastly, there's honesty. And I have to tell you, that's probably the most difficult thing to attain in any coach. Honesty about our strengths, our challenges, our needs, our love. So I come here Sunday to Sunday, and sometimes more than that, and I'm looking, am I in the right lifeboat? And I know I've been on the boats and they were okay for a while, but they didn't continue. As the storms got too big, we couldn't stay. And quite frankly, one of the major ingredients is, if you talk about intimacy, that's probably another rare thing. We're not honest and we're not really intimate. I'm an introvert, so on one hand I realize it's important, but I struggle as I stand there, who am I going to talk to, who am I going to engage with, how am I going to break through and be real? So, that having been said, so far the boat has been well equipped. But there are bigger storms there.
I love that boat example. You know, yesterday we had this building was full of elders, right? Or pastors and really elders throughout our presbytery. Let me give you an idea of what happened yesterday, a little bit of what happened. The first thing I found out yesterday was that Kevin was sick. And so he was going to be unable to do the ruling elder report. So I knew that just before I got in the shower. When I got out of the shower, I got a phone call from one of our members letting me know that her car wouldn't start. And she didn't have Belinda's phone number. Well, Belinda's kind of running food and all that. So she needed a ride. And I said, well, I just got out of the shower, right? Fortunately, she got her ride. She got her car fixed and got a ride and got there. That's how the day started. When I got here, there was a drunk guy, a drunk homeless guy that showed up. So we have a bunch of pastors and elders here. We're about to do a business meeting, and he shows up and he sits right where Grace is sitting, and he goes through the entire worship service with us, worships with us. Really great. And few people talked to him. Belinda talked to him. I think Pear talked to him before that, I think. And he enjoyed the worship service with us. The worship service is over. I mean, you can smell beer and homelessness off of this guy for yards, right? When it's over, we do snacks, and he enjoys snacks with us, and there's various people talking to him. And the business part of the meeting starts. It's going to be a long, long meeting, like 6, 7, 8 hours or something. He sits right there, right up front for this meeting. And we got a treasurer up here who's talking about numbers. A treasurer. Boring, right? This guy, in the middle of it, stands up and says, "What does Presbytery mean?" to this poor guy. And he looks at me and goes, "It's complicated, but in a nutshell," you know, he starts in. And Pear's sitting over here, and I'm sitting over there where Kevin is. And Pear gets up, and I'm not getting this exactly right, but he gets up and says something to the guy, I think. And then comes over and says something to me. He says, "You know, will you meet with the guys?" "Sure, of course I will." So when I get a chance, I come up here, and I sit down next to the guy, and I say, "Hey, I'll answer your questions about Presbyterianism. Any other questions you have? You know, you want to come with me? I'll answer." And he's drunk. I mean, he's drunk. "Yeah, of course I will. Here I come. I'll follow you." We went back to my office and spent 2 hours talking, drinking water, talking, cussing like sailors. He was, not me. Right. We're back there doing that. Well, I forgot one thing. One thing that Jake did. The music came starting up, and Jake pokes fun at all of the elders in the room. I can't remember what you said, Jake, but it was funny. We cracked up laughing. Had a great worship. It was a really great worship service. So that was one other thing. So I take that guy back there. Yeah. And you know the easiest thing there, the thing you really kind of want, you know, the thing you kind of want is for the guy to have a few snacks and leave if you're honest. You know? But that didn't happen. I spent 2 hours with him. Pear talked to him. Alice, Belinda, they offered him food, water, talked to him, kind to him. He ate lunch with us. There was a few guys from various guys from the presbytery that sat with him and talked to him. And he stuck around for a while. He did. And then he finally left. And he left with Belinda and Alice and people back there saying, "Hey, take this with you." There was nobody in our church that ushered that guy out of the place. If anything, our people did everything they could to keep him in the building. Right? In the building. And then there's the one other thing. Remember I said Kevin was sick. He could not give the elder report. That means it falls on me. Right? Well, it's a report. I didn't write the report. I don't have the report with me.
So
you guys know that I'm scared to death of public speaking. You know I'm standing up here right now, like, right? Well, you know, and Perrin and I both know what's going to happen, right? They're going to say, "Oh, free grace, it's your turn to speak," and they're going to realize Kevin's not here because we, you know, we said, "Well, it's Kevin's report today," and they're going to go, "Oh, well, we got Ken. Hey, Ken, want to say some words?" Yeah, I want to say some words. I'm not prepared. I'm scared to death of public speaking. No, I don't want to say any words. Right? Before I get a chance, Pear's sitting over here, and he just jumps on it, right? Mumble, 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 mumble. Okay, we'll put him on the next docker. Great. Pear saved me. He was proactive, saved me. And at the end of the day, I'm saying to myself, this is why I wrote free grace. And then I came here, plant a church, and start a counseling center. That's why I came here. Why I stay here is because of our little motto that we talk about: broken people bound together for God's glory.
So you call
right?
It, so you're supposed to. So this is a song.
After yesterday, I'm just looking at our people and I'm going, man, our people love. We love. We are broken people. We know we're broken people. When we see broken people, you know, we're not perfect, but we do something about it. We love. You know, at the end of the day, what I say to myself, I say, "Gee, Ken, you're just like your mother." I mean, if I were a serial killer and you said one bad word about me, my mom would just be all over you. Right? That's the way I feel about you guys. And part of that is what happened yesterday, all day yesterday. I mean, I come away from that going, these are my people. These are my people. Free grace are my people. I would do just about anything for you guys. I would defend you guys no matter what. And that's why I'm a member, and that's why I stay. And that's kind of where I was kind of hoping to move this conversation. It kind of went there, and we kind of talked about authority a little bit as well. Why do you, I mean, we've got seconds left, but a few comments. Why do you guys, why did you choose free grace? Why are you here? And those of you who are members, and those of you who've been here for a while, why are you staying? Now that you've realized that we're messed up just like everybody else.
You know? The same reason you said.
You can't steal my words.
Yesterday could have been a test. You know, angels unawares, you know. Can you? I guess what you just said strengthens my belief that for now I'm in the right life boat. Because, you know, look who came. Look what how that impacted the whole church. The whole meeting, the outcome. Look how he was treated. I wonder what his report was if he was an angel. You know what this place was like and what it accomplished.
That was one drunken angel. But I get what you're saying. I totally get what you're saying. I'm really proud of the people that were here. I'm proud of Free Grace anyway. I'm proud of the door.
It's getting loud if they're both like hovering around the door like, okay, we're going to... I'll run in, you go get the men.
Right, the ladies are right next to my office, and they're like, okay, we'll get that guy if he wants to. That's awesome. That is awesome. But yet, you know, nobody was afraid, you know? You've got Allison and Belinda back there, Ruth was here as well, Shannon. None of them were afraid. They weren't afraid of this guy. And if they were, if they had a little bit of fear, that would be normal. But they didn't act as if they had fear. They acted as if we should love this guy. And they did. Loved him well. Really well. That's why I'm here. Why are you guys here? That's why I'm a member.
I came here. I needed a family. I came here. And I found it. And I think just like our personal family, you have a commitment to the members in your family. And
everybody
so they have a commitment to you too, so you can expect things of them.
Yep.
But then you have to step up and do your part. They need you. And God will take that will support the church. That financially, we all should do something. Whether it's a dollar, if that's all you can afford, or people put $1,000, so you can do it. But everybody should give something, and everybody should participate in some way. That's part of supporting your church, just like you support your family. Your mother doesn't do everything for you, or your brother does all your chores. You all do something in your family. can. And we all have strengths and weaknesses, and it's really important. And it should be a big thing. If you take it lightly, it's not right. You should take it.
So for you, that sense of family is a big deal.
Yeah.
The same thing for you. If I to paraphrase you a little bit, you kind of look into that as well.
And it's not just about the warm funding you get from your family. You participate as, like Joanne said, your mom isn't doing everything for you. Your mom shouldn't do everything for you.
It's a bummer that I'm hearing this news right now. Anybody else care to chime in?
I've always been really struck by this church since I started coming here, how thoughtful it is. It's really intentional. It's one of the most, it's a very thoughtful place. People are very authentic here, and every single part of it is really thought out. There's not like a lot of other kind of modern churches with a lot of PowerPoints and donut holes and just a lot of...
We can only use more
donut holes. It's a church that I'm not at all trying to tell millennials I go to. That there's like something that's different here in the fast-paced world. It's an authentic, thought-out place that you might even want to try it. Because people are really just so turned off generally by... Most people have like a bad personal experience at some point, so they just can't believe there could be something kind of thought out like this.
Can I tag on that? I know we're doing that fine, but I think that a lot of churches they sort of add on to that millennial fast pace kind of that thing. They're like, oh, we want development, let's do that. But I think what the Christian experience is all about is stepping away from that. Mm-hmm. And I think that's one of the things I appreciate about our church. We're not sort of saying, oh, we want to be relevant and we're just doing all that stuff. Mm-hmm. We're happy to be irrelevant.
Awkward.
Hi, I'm awkward.
I agree with what a lot of people said as well. I also want to add on that. I think a big thing for me is that the gospel is preached most Sundays. Actually every Sunday in some form during the worship service.
That's great. You changed that to everything.
I'm just saying, nobody says they're here because of the preaching.
I didn't mention the music either. Actually, it's one thing, and I really like that the worship songs and the songs that we sing are biblical and they have meaning. They're not just fluff. They're not just something about us. They're about God. And that we're encouraged to be here not for ourselves, but to worship God, which is why we're all here,
right,
in this world, anyways.
Yeah.
Alice?
Garrett?
Can you
say it without looking? Gavin? Everybody's welcome here.
Yep.
Everybody is accepted and is There's no pressure to conform. Nobody tells Garrett to sit in the front seat of the pony. Nobody's threatening to call the police because he's wearing a black tie.
Bob, did you? I don't know if you had your hand up there.
I was just going to say, and again, you know, I would clarify to speak to the non-weather. Long story short, I've spent the last 7 months kissing a lot of frogs. If you understand. And when I walk, don't you guys get me puffed up? As I walked in here, it was almost a beauty of what apparent to me.
Thanks, appreciate that. The pastor appreciates it. Even though he's Swedish, he's back to home. I can read his face. That means, wow, I'm just super happy.
If his eyebrows go up like a millimeter, you know he's happy.
Paul?
Rob, what you When you're talking about what commandments, Bob? Come to mind for me. Remember last week's song, there was a phrase that was repeated that said, disturb me.
Yes.
You remember that?
Yes.
That's a challenge because Hebrews 10:25 tells us that we have to get together and provoke unto love and good work.
Yes.
I need your help to make that real, and I believe members of the same boat need that help for the same reason. Let's disturb one another because that's what it takes to bring us closer to the image of Christ in our lives. So I'm thankful for that opportunity.
Yes.
So thank you for allowing us to be in your boat.
Thank you for your compliment. Yeah. Well, let me cut us off there. I mean, we kind of got on those last two questions, but like I said, I'm not necessarily interested in answering every question. I am interested in having you go home with some questions or with some doubts or being disturbed. So hopefully you do that. And next week, we'll dive into that first vow and hopefully tease that a little bit and take a look at it theologically and what it means at a heart level. I love what I've heard here. You guys are really talking about intimacy, the kind of accountability that isn't about discipline, but it's both discipline in a judicial sense, but the kind of accountability that brings intimacy and honesty and that sort of thing, which is really beautiful. I can tell you that your three elders that comprise the session here breaks our heart when somebody leaves. Just breaks our heart. So some of the stuff you said here is making us feel really good. Again, I'm speaking for prayer. Somebody has to. He can't have, you know, big emotive emotions and good looks, so he's just stuck with the good looks. So with that, let me close this in prayer, and we'll look forward to next week. Heavenly Father, thank you for everybody that you bring into this building and what you're doing in their lives. Thank you for the atmosphere, the culture you have created here at Free Grace. May we take that and glorify you and honor you in all that we do. We have our eyes and our focus on you and you alone as we seek to love you and enjoy you and love one another. Help us to do that this week as we live out our lives. In Christ's name. Amen. All right. Oh, and go Falcons. Just saying.